out there. It's nice to see warm weather come. Feels good. So this month is workout classes. And looking at the furtherance of the gospel, and he's been teaching, and we've hit on it some too, that what we have today is the Word of God and the truth that it is, that the world sees what they believe as the truth. So I'm going to take off on for the next 3 or 4 weeks on bibliology, which is the doctrine of the Bible. And in that, we're going to look at many things. It'll come down to the authenticity of the Bible and the version, if you want to call it version issues. There's not really issues. It's just talking about different versions. Some folks want to make issues of it. We don't do that. We just say what we believe is the truth based on God's Word. And the Word proves itself as the truth. And many reasons there. And we'll get into that about the third or fourth week here in this month. So anyway, looking at some of the key scriptures here, we'll read a couple. It says, the word of the Lord, this is Psalms 12, 6 and 7. It says, the word of the Lord is pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of the earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them for this generation forever. And we can look at Isaiah 48 says, the grass withereth, the flowers fadeth, but the word of the Lord, a word of God, shall stand forever. And Matthew 5:18 says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And then a verse that we've heard here in the past month or so is, all scriptures are given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thoroughly means prepared, have a working understanding of God's Word. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started talking about Bible, basic Bible doctrine as we see it today, as we have the Word today, to give us an understanding of what we have in our hands as the doctrine, as the Word, as the Bible. So let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your love for us. God, we thank you for your grace and your salvation, your powerful word, the truth, and the foundation of all that we believe, the truth for this church, the truth for our lives, to live our lives, the truth to function as Christians, the truth to impart to others that they may be saved. The truth of the word, Lord, we thank you for it. Now, Lord, I thank you for another beautiful day, able to come out to church. Lord, it's a blessing. And Lord, there's many, many prayer requests this morning we can think about as we have a prayer list in our hand and look at all these folks with the needs, many, many needs of others, health needs, financial needs. And Lord, our missionaries around the world and missionaries in Ukraine today, I think about them again. Lord, just protect those people there on the ground. Protect those little churches out in the middle of the country that I know that are there, been there. Lord, protect those folks. Lord, just take care of that situation there. And our world just seems to be kind of out of control right now, Lord. Help solve all that with your power, Lord. Lord, we thank you so again for our church. Pray for the morning service that hearts will be touched, lives could be changed from your word. Lord, it's your word that does the work. It's the power that the Holy Spirit dwell in richly in our lives. We can impart that truth to others. They can be saved with the knowledge of your saving grace and have the Holy Spirit dwell richly in their lives. Lord, all those truths that we know, we can take that for granted. And Lord, I just want to praise your name again for the word, for the Bible, being able to have one. A lot of folks don't even have one today, don't even have the word. Lord, I pray your blessing on us today as we look into this lesson about the Bible. In Jesus' name, amen. So, over the next few weeks, we're going to be studying and looking into a lot of things that you may think, well, I already heard all this, I already know all this. Well, folks, remember, we're online. This is being recorded. People can pick it up on three or four different platforms, anywhere in the world, anytime. So as you go, as you're going, and you're able to witness to someone, you can say, well, you can go on Buffalo Ridge website, or you can go on YouTube and put Buffalo Ridge in. All those things, all that technology is wonderful, and it's available. I'm just, you know, we look at the pandemic over the last two or three years, and really what it's done for us, and a lot of churches it's done for us, is give us the ability to be able to put this out on the internet to where the world can hear it. They can hear the truth. And I can go home and watch Levi's message where he preached today, or any of those men over there in the UK. So it's a powerful tool that our church is using. And, you know, with the new technology and the projectors, and here I am wired up with this thing and the videos and all that they're doing down in the media room and up there. Lord, it's a powerful tool. And we thank the Lord that we have that. So when we think about things that we've heard before, well, there may be somebody sitting here that has not heard the truth about the authenticity of God's word. Or those of us that have sat under Pastor Lasley remembers those Wednesday nights that he talked about versions and those issues of the versions. And I'm probably going to get some of his handouts for that week. And I've got a handout here too already, but he's got some stuff that was really good that he had prepared back when he did those version things. So I want to do that too here in the weeks to come. So I got to thinking today, over the next weeks to come, we're going to be looking at bibliology, which is we're starting with that for the next three or four weeks. Then we're going to do theology, talks about God. Christology, we're going to talk about Christ again. Pneumatology, which talks about the Holy Spirit. And angelology, which is interesting to me. And a lot of people are interested in angels. And we're going to talk about those angels and the jobs that they have to do and what they've done in the past and what they're doing today. So I got to looking at this, I'm going to rabbit trail off just a little bit here. And I was reading a commentary yesterday and today, and we read this verse that we've all heard and familiar with, this 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, where all scriptures are given for inspiration of God, and why Paul wrote that down in that particular time. In that situation, Paul was in prison when he wrote that letter to Timothy, and Timothy and Titus, both of them are kind of been labeled as the pastor's letters or church letters to operate the church, but inside that we see responsibilities as members of the church. And it's God's word, and we at that time Nero was after all the churches and after the church people. A lot of people were being persecuted. And you look at today's world, and there is countries where people are persecuted for their faith. Now, are we getting to that point? I've got this message I want to do. The handwriting is the handwriting on the wall for us, as it was back in the day when. Well, I'm going to rabbit trail off, and I'm just stop right there. So, where are we at far as persecution against God's word and not believing that it is the truth? I mean, we can take that for granted. We've been taught all our lives, most of us here, that the Bible is the truth. But Paul was writing here to the Timothy, and he was telling him all kinds of things that he needed to prepare the church for, because he saw Nero and where he was sitting in prison on death row. He was seeing the end of his ministry, and he could look into the future and see the end of all these New Testament churches' ministry if they did not pass it on to the next generation. And this equipping series that the pastor's doing this month is about that. How do we pass it on to the next generation? How do we pass the truth about the Bible on? We need to tell our loved ones and anybody that we come and have an opportunity to talk about it that the Bible is our authority for our saving grace of God, the truth about His salvation, the truth about there is a real hell that we've been studying, the truth about all these things. And of course, that verse there that we always bring out, this one in Timothy, it is profitable for doctrine, for telling the truth. What is the doctrine? The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is the basic salvation doctrine. But in this Timothy and Titus, you might want to go read those things. Of course, you probably have before, but read it again and look at it at a different aspect. Look at it saying, he's preparing these people for the future. He's preparing this pastor to teach these people what's getting ready to happen. And folks, from that letters is impacted where we're at today. If you go back in history and look and look and look, you're going to come back to this New Testament church, and it's going to it come forward because these people took it on as believers at that time to say, we're not going to let this dictator, Nero at the time, take our church out or take our people away. And some people were martyred at that time for their beliefs. And we know what went on in Rome and in the Colosseum and the lion pits and all that was done to professing Christians at that time. So we have a world out there right now that things have been getting harder and harder since the late 50s, early 60s when we started taking the Bibles out of school. We started taking prayer out of school and out of just everything, taking it, just started going away and away and away. And then our government started falling into that. And then this Roe versus Wade, the authorization of murder of babies, and on we go. And we look at our government today. I've been started reading some stuff about George Washington and how our country was set up and the constitutional rights that we have based on God's word. It was based on the truth. And look, we're living in a time that we're, as folks used to say, we're living on the coattails of our forefathers here. And is that where the generation it is before us, the younger ones, my grandchildren, your grandchildren, how are they going to hear this truth if we don't impart it? How are they going to hear this constitutional truth if we don't teach it? I was talking to my daughter this week. There's some books out there that teaches the truth of the Constitution and the rights and the Bill of Rights and all that those men did in the beginning of this country based on God's Word. How powerful. We set up a country based on God's Word. And look where we're at today. It's still going on. And if we blink our eyes, folks, just as Timothy was charged by Paul to go forward and strengthen the people, tell them about stewardship, tell them that they need to be soldiers, tell them that they need to be successful, tell them that, yes, you're probably going to suffer for your beliefs, tell them to be students of the Word, tell them to be servants for others, and on, the characteristics of Christian people inside a Christian community in a New Testament fundamental church and all the responsibilities we need is in the Word, is in Timothy, and much other places in the Bible. But as Paul wrote those letters there in prison, you can't imagine the situation that he was in. He was lowered down a hole into a pit and wet and damp and just not a good situation. And wrote these powerful letters under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about that later on, how God inspires people. How he used these New Testament folks at this time at Paul to write all these letters that's in the New Testament that were God inspired. And they're alive and well today. They're just as alive today as they were then. And that's God's Word. It's alive. It's a living thing. And we know that. So what is the study of the doctrine? The word doctrine means, it sounds like a technical kind of a word, but it is a simple word that refers to beliefs and teachings. Beliefs and teachings. We often say, well, what's your doctrine? Well, we talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Well, what is your teachings based on the true Word of God? Well, there's many, many teachings in God's words besides, first and foremost, is salvation teaching and that doctrine, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And then beyond that, Paul was teaching these folks here in the New Testament how to run their church, how to run their lives, how to be a Christian, how to be kind. Just being kind in this world has become difficult because there's so many ugly people out there. Just drive down the road here and I'm getting old like the rest of us, and I don't go as fast as I used to. But, people go around you shaking their fist. It's like they're all on the edge, like a chip on their shoulders. I mean, have y'all experienced that too? Shake your heads, yes. Yeah, everybody in here shaking their heads. I mean, everybody's just on an edge. They need to be saved, don't they? Number one. And then number two, they need to be taught, need to be in a good church, which I can think of a good church right here, I believe. So the beliefs and teachings is the doctrine of what we believe and teach. How do we find our doctrine? Well, the Bible doctrine is a pure doctrine because the Bible is pure without error, has no error in it. Nothing's been changed in it. Of course, we can look at, we're going to get into the version thing and talk a little bit about that. I haven't Pastor Lasley, it's been a while since he did that. It's been quite a while. I'm going to get some of his notes. But anyway, versions. What the arrow that's in that. I mean, I've got a piece of paper here that shows how many words and how many verses are completely left out in some of these versions. It's nothing but the devil trying to blind people to the truth. And that's where it's at. The authoritative power of the doctrine, because it's God's word and God's teaching. If we submit ourselves to the authority with the Holy Spirit's help, we can take the word and understand it enough to pass it on to others. I mean, we need to pore over it and study over it and understand it and understand what God's telling us. Some of these doctrines that are out there today are dangerous. They are definitely unhealthy for people to hear. People are confused. The Bible doctrine is nourishing to the soul. I mean, you ever get up from praying or reading the Word and how it feels to your insides? Folks, you don't just get that out of a book. You get that out of the Bible, God's Word, the Holy Spirit speaking to you and giving you understanding and lightening your path in life. The Bible doctrine is complete doctrine. Of course, we know there's verses that says not to change anything, not to change a dot or a tittle in the language that it was written in Hebrew, maybe not Greek, but in Hebrew. You ever look at any of those writings of, like on the Dead Sea Scrolls, it just looks like a bunch of lines and dots and this and that and the other. But it all means the Word. It's the Word of God. And one dot, one tittle, which it looks like a period and a comma to the right of a funny-looking backward seven with a line through the middle of it, can totally change whether you're baptized under the water or whether you're sprinkled. You see, leaving off one of those dots or leaving off one of those tittles completely changes the meaning of what the word means. And isn't that what the devil wants to do? And then these new translations where they leave out words and change words to what they really mean. God had these wrote down exactly what he meant, and he means it, and he wants us to understand it that way. So anytime we see any kind of changes in it, We just have to be cautious of how we give the doctrine or give the Bible out to others. We need to make sure of what we're saying. It's so difficult to teach sometimes because we're me, the pastor, anybody that teaches, a lot of you've been there. You really have to be prayed up and have the Holy Spirit dwelling on you to say the right things and not say something that's wrong. And that doesn't mean I'm just human. I mess up and say things wrong sometimes. Read things wrong, interpret it wrong. But I pray for God to help me with that every time I step up here and teach a class. We have to do it as truthful and as perfect as we can. And I'm not humanly able to do it without the Holy Spirit dwelling richly in my life. Just can't do it. So, why do we need to study the doctrine? Well, the opportunity today that we have, I guarantee you, there's some people in Ukraine today that wish they had the opportunity to sit in a church house and read the Bible. Folks, we don't know when that could come to us. We don't know. So the modern day churches, to, to dismiss the importance of the doctrine for the sake of unity with slogans and activities and the wrong kind of music and all that, the entertainment that some churches are doing. They've completely left out the importance of the doctrine. The unbiblical Christian, I'm a Christian. I mean, we got to be careful what that means. You go door to door knocking and ask people. I remember asking, you ask people, well, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. Well, what does that mean? And when you start asking them what that means, and then they start saying stuff that makes no sense. And it's just a matter of fact, we need to teach people the doctrine, the truth of the Word. More and more and more, we're seeing our nation, and we've got four generations, we can say, that are falling away from God's Word and the truth of it. Look what happened to the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. Within 8 or 10 generations, they had no idea what the Word even said. They didn't even know where the books were at. They were lost in the rubble of cities. You remember the stories, I found the book. And they read it, and people was hearing that for the first time for 100 years. But look what happened to the nation of Israel. It went to nothing. With all of God's promises on those people, the hope that they had for a new place to go live when they crossed the Jordan, finally crossed the Jordan, and then hundreds of years later, they were just completely dissolved into Baal worshiping and not knowing what was what about their God. It can happen, folks. Is it happening right in front of our eyes? Has it happened in the last 50 or 60 years? I have to say, yes, it is happening. It has happened, and it's going to happen if we don't put a stop to it. And teach and preach this next generation behind us every chance we get to read the Word and understand the Word. People believe that what they want to believe, just as Pastor John has said, what is the truth here? What people believe, they think is the truth. No, it's God's Word. What we believe is the truth directly affects our lives and how we live. So you can look at society in a whole today, how people are living, and that right there will tell you that they are not connected to the Bible and the doctrine and the truth, what you're supposed to be, how you're supposed to be, how you're supposed to, you know, walk right and look right and talk right and treat other men right. You can see people get saved, folks. We know it. In the past, we've seen folks come in here, or we've seen folks in the past get saved, and you don't have to tell them nothing. The Holy Spirit takes care of it, and there's a total change in their look, a total change in how they act and what they do because of the Holy Spirit dwelling richly in their life. And that's the power of God's Word with the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit after they get saved. So we can look at the Bible as God's written word, and it reveals His person, His work, His will for mankind. What is His will for you and I today? Where I'm at 71, where you're at whatever age you are, what is God's will for you today? I don't know. I can't tell you your will. But I know when I get in this book right here, I can find mine. Because that tells me where I need to be today. It tells Debbie where she needs to be today. Where do we need to be as a family? Where does my grandchildren need to be? the Word, it's finished. The Scriptures are complete. We don't need to add anything to it, take anything from it. It's complete. It was written and recorded, and it's passed on to every generation. God guaranteed that in His Word. We can go back to the Bible and find all this stuff, that He's preserved it for all generations. And I believe, no doubt in my heart, I believe that this 1611 King James Version translation from the Textus Receptus is the best English translation that we have. It is the truth. The true Word of God. And we'll talk about some of that version stuff later. And as a person, the Bible reveals God to us from the beginning to the end. We see God in all the chapters. We see Christ in that ribbon of blood from Genesis all the way to the end of the Bible. It's all in there. All these chapters, we see it woven in there. And the work, the Bible tells us what God has done, what He is doing, and what He's going to do in the future. Praise the Lord for the future, the hope that we have in heaven. And we know, we don't know in super great detail, but God's given us enough for our minds to understand what the future holds. If we live long enough, we're going to see God come back in the clouds, and in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be there with Him. That's a promise. That's His Word. And I like holding on to that. And the Bible shows us God expects requirements of man. What are we required? Not required to do anything to get saved. The devil has used some of the verses. People like to pull them out of context and say, well, I need to do this to be saved, or I need to do that to be saved. No, the truth of it is that Christ did it all, and we've studied that. And how corrupt that can get, just a simple plan of salvation. So we can look at the origins of the Bible comes from God. The content is revealed by God to us. It's all about God and what He's doing and what He's going to do. The Scriptures are filled with claims such as, said the Lord. You can read a verse that says, said the Lord, in capital letters. Thus said the Lord. The Lord speaks. The Word of the Lord. It's all through the Bible. How can we not believe what God said? We believe that God's perfect. We believe that God can't make a mistake. So why can't we read a verse? And for some reason we can reason through that verse and say, well, that don't really apply to me. No, that's not the case. When you read it, it convicts. It's indestructible. In Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, God says. It's incorruptible. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flowers and grass. Grass withers, flowers, and the flowers therefore fall away. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Just more God's words there, and that was in Peter. And Matthew 5:18 says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, One jot or one tittle shall no wise pass away from the law till all be fulfilled. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Psalms 92:5. It's indestructible, it's incorruptible, it's indispensable, it's inexhaustible. I've never went back and looked at stuff that I marked 20 years ago, and it's as new and as fresh today as it was then. Praise the Lord for the doctrine. The characteristics displayed, it's unified. It's unified, doctor. Written by 40 different penmen over 1,600 years, separated by 1,500 miles in that part of the world. All levels of education, society, educated, not educated, yet the message is one. I mean, how can that happen? Because of God's inspiration on these people. It's the truth across all platforms, all people. It's unparalleled decorations. How the world was created. I mean, go back to the beginning and look at the creation of mankind, the creation of everything. But we see through science, people have tried to reason that away. And we could get off on a trail there and talk about all these things, but then modern science is really starting to come back around, and some of these people, you know, they just launched that new telescope that's supposed to look so far out into space. I think some of these people still believe there's a Big Bang theory. Well, they're just going to look out there and see more stars. God hung all those stars there, and he tells us any word that he did. They're not going to look out there and find something that's going to prove that there's nothing out there past a certain point. It's just on and on these scientists go and try to prove. But then there's some books that indicate a lot of these folks have come back around to believe that God's word is the truth. And you look at how it talks about the blood and all that years ago, even in the Old Testament, and we've come to know that that's the truth. How we go to the doctor and they check everything in our body by taking a little blood sample. It all comes back to the truth, even though people try to disprove it, even with science, they can't do it. It's universally designed that men, we all work and are bound by time and culture that we live in. But it talks to all men across all times, all ages, all culture. Brother Harry and I were in the Ukraine some years ago and seen, was you there with us in Ukraine? We were there, and Preacher Lassley was there preaching to people. And ain't that when the ants went up, got on you? Yeah, he was standing there getting ants in his pants. But we saw people come out of one of them concrete buildings, just like you're seeing on the news today. We were in a particular place around some of those buildings, and there was three or four of them standing there, big old tall things, people living in them. We'd see 50 or 60 people get saved out of a crowd that was gathered up, come down to the parking lot, and through an interpreter preach the word. People getting saved because the first time they ever heard the word. And I believe we handed out some Bibles too. And I think it's those little Bibles in somebody's hand today, and they're holding on to them and praying and hoping that their lives are saved with the mess that's going on there today. Yes, sir.
Christian man in Germany, he was sergeant of the United States Army, sergeant of the whole order group.
Amen. So folks, the ones that didn't hear that, we was talking about a truck. Somebody give them a truck for $50, an old army truck, and they carried in tons of truth, tons of Bibles, and seen lots and lots of people get saved. That's probably been 20 years ago. And those, a lot of those kids were teens. A lot of those kids can speak English. And you've seen some of those on TV today that can speak broken English because that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to speak English. Those kids today are probably in their mid-40s and they may be standing up for their country today and dying. But they have the Lord in their heart. They have the truth because of those efforts made many, many years ago. So what helped them was handing them a Word of God, the truth, a Bible, that they had to look at and read and understand. Their opportunity was in front of them. I can't get those people out of my mind and thinking on what's going on there today, what tragedy it is, you know, and back and seeing those little towns that we went into, and we had to wait till the cows come home and all that went on before we could have a street sermon. It was amazing to be there and be part of that. God just blessed me with being able to be there and be part of that. So we can see that this universal design that God has put together in His Word, that it speaks to the people there in Ukraine today. It speaks to us today, or anywhere else we can think missionaries are at, in Mongolia, in South America, in England, wherever it may be. The Word is written that many years, so many years ago now that we have it, but it's a fresh and new every time you pick it up. And it speaks to different people, different nations, different situations in peace and war and rumors of war. God is preparing His church, folks, and it ain't this building. It's you and I. There's going to come a day when the last person reads the Word and gets saved, and Christ is going to say, "That's it. I'm calling them home." That day's coming. And how long that is, no one knows. But He has told us in His Word that that's going to happen. Well, I need to quit a couple minutes early. So praise the Lord for His Word. We'll continue on studying His Word for the next 2 or 3 weeks. And then I think I'm going to go to theology, I believe. Study of God. But anyway, God's good, folks, all the time, to everybody. All the believers and all the unbelievers. So let's be dismissed in a word of prayer and let church get started. Lord, we thank You for loving us, taking care of us. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We've all got all kinds of them at the house. On shelves, we can get them easy, but there is places in this world that folks don't have it. And we've got some missionaries that we're involved with that get the truth out. And from time to time, Lord, You've allowed us to help them financially to get the Word out. God, we thank You for that. Lord, we pray today that You give us a good morning service. Help the pastor as he speaks, touch his hearts, change his hearts, change his lives with the power of Your Word. And we pray that someone may be saved today. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you all.